Amen. Glory to God. Thank you. Hallelujah. Well, welcome to RCC. I know we were welcomed with a promise. I hope that you are in a better place now than when you first came in here. Amen. Not because of us, but because of God's presence. Amen. His power, his goodness, his peace. We purposely try to create a place of refuge, freedom, and peace. Amen. A place where those that are heavy, those that are going through, those that are facing things, can come to this place and find peace. Amen. That's what we believe that God has created this house to be. I can't tell you about any other church, amen, but I can tell you the vision that God has given us, that it would be a place of refuge, freedom, and peace. Amen. Amen. Well, that's good news. And so I'm excited to be up here. Of course, I'm Pastor Josh, and I am thankful to be able to stand and think and breathe and be able to share his word. So I'll be teaching today, as y'all see the title up on the screen, from the thought of choose the better thing, amen, with the subtitle being sitting at his feet. Choose the better thing, sitting at his feet. So if we can turn to Luke 10, all the youth can go out with Portia and Josiah. They'll be teaching the youth, amen. We thank God for them and their sacrifice and what they do to instill the word of God into these young people. Amen. We know the young people are the future. Amen. And we want to give them the truth at a young age. Glory to God. So Luke 10:38. Amen. That's Luke 11. Luke 10:38. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted. Let me say that again. Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, does it seem unfair that my sister just sits while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "Dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is one thing worth being concerned about, and Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." Amen. Glory to God. How many of y'all know that we can find ourselves doing a good thing instead of a God thing? I'm going to say that again. How many of y'all know that we can find ourselves doing a good thing and not a God thing? How many of y'all know that we can be working and neglecting the relationship with the one that we're working for? You can be working hard, serving, doing all that God has called you to do, it seems, but neglecting the very relationship with the one who has called you. So when we think, you know, I do a lot of apologetics in it, and that's basically just defending the gospel. Typically online, in person, whatever, I'll just share, you know, the truth with people. People ask me questions. And there's a typical term that comes up, especially in Christianity, is religion versus relationship. Have you ever heard that? People say, well, you have religion, you don't really have a relationship, and all those things. And so that can be true, but one thing about religion is that we are a part of the Christian religion. You cannot get away from that, right? It's an organized religion of Christianity. And so when people say that, what they really mean is that religion can sometimes become a check the box, right? Check the box. Guess what? I showed up to church today. Box checked. Did you receive anything? Not really. But guess what? I checked the box. God can't say I didn't show up to church, right? Did I pray today? Well, yeah, I woke up. I said, "Lord, thank you for this day. I appreciate everything you've done." Check the box. Did you read your word today? Yeah, I read the word. I read, you know, the little Bible app. It popped up. And so I was able to read my one scripture. Box checked, right? Work. You're doing all the right things, but are you really in a relationship with God? Right? And so we see here that in this story, these things are at work, right? Tradition and religion and sometimes just doing what you've always done, which can be a good thing. All those things I said are good, right? Waking up praying, waking up reading your word, waking up, you know, thanking God. But it is the motive behind it, right? It is the reason in which and why you do it. And today we're going to examine these two people, these two ladies, Mary and Martha. Look at their lives and look at what it is that this story says and even what Jesus says and why Jesus said to choose the better thing. Amen, to choose the better thing. So in this story, we see those things at work. And one of the things that we see here are distractions. And distractions, Jesus says to Martha, she is distracted, right? And so distractions come in many forms. There are bad ones that come to take our minds and our hearts off what God is trying to accomplish in our lives. And then there are bad ones that make us lazy and complacent. So a bad distraction always takes us away from a good goal, right? Whether it is a relationship with God, you can be distracted in your life. You can get so busy that God becomes a second and or third priority, right? Distractions come to make you lazy and complacent. It's like, oh, well, I would rather scroll on Facebook or TikTok or Snapchat or whatever than to do what I know I need to do. Like, it could be cleaning my house, right? It could be being in a relationship. It could be all these different things, right? There are things that come to distract us, come to take our focus away from what is good, right? What is needed, right? Because if you become so distracted that you, like, stop taking a bath, right? It's like, I'm just going to scroll. I'm just going to do whatever, right? And you'll be like, oh, people do that, right? People can have their priorities misaligned, that there are other things that are more important than even basic needs, right? We can get distracted. So there are bad distractions, and then there are also good distractions, right? Distractions that you have to do in order to take your mind off of a bad situation. How many of y'all have ever been in a bad situation? And there are times where you need to be distracted. You need to stop thinking about it. It could be a sickness. It could be the loss of a loved one. It could be something bad going on. It's like we just got to go have fun. I can remember, you know, we had to do that a few years ago when Pastor Daisy lost her father. And then 60 days later, I lost my mother. And so we were just in turmoil, right? We were just like, we don't know what's going on. Lord, have you forsaken us? Right, what is happening? But I remember Daisy saying, "Well, we're gonna go bowling." So we went and we went bowling. We went to the arcade. We went and got something to eat. We decided that we needed to take our minds off of even grieving, right? Because it was just such an immense pressure. So there are good distractions, right? And so I want you to talk back to me just a little bit, because in this story we see something that's very, very typical. If someone is coming over to the house, a visitor, what happens? What starts to happen? Somebody's coming to visit your house. All right, clean. What else? That's it. Start making some food. Start organizing. Everybody's in line. All the children, it's like, get up, clean your room. We're going to mop. We're going to vacuum, right? So that's not a bad thing, right? It's not a bad thing. And so we see here that that's what begins to happen. And what happens if the guest comes and everything's not done? Exactly. That right there, right? Frustration. You mad at the kids, you mad at your husband, you mad at your wife, whoever didn't finish, why didn't we get this done? We got this guest coming, I don't want this to reflect me, right? All that's good, right? All that's good. You want to present something good. Well, that's where Martha is right now, right? Martha's like, we got to get this food done, right? We got a special guest coming, so I am cleaning, Martha's cleaning, she's cooking, she's preparing, and what's Mary doing? She sat down at the feet of Jesus, like, hold on. What you over here doing? Right? We all know people that when it's time to work, they not working, right? they done just kind of meandered on away. They just like, they in the bathroom, all right. Yeah, they done found something important to do at the time that it's time to clean, right? It's time to pick up. It's time to cook. It's time to organize. It's time to straighten. But we have to understand that that's not what Mary's doing, right? Mary's not goofing off. She's not lazy. She understands something that I'll talk about here in a little bit. But we see that Martha actually is justified in her request to Jesus, because in this day and time in the Jewish culture, women were not able to be in the position that Mary was. She was not able legally, through Jewish customs, to be at the feet of a teacher or a rabbi or even a male that wasn't her husband. So in reality, Mary was doing the wrong thing. And Martha was seemingly doing the right thing, according to culture and custom, to cook, to clean, to make sure the house was together, to serve the guest, right? And so what did Martha do but decide to rebuke Jesus? I don't know how many of y'all would actually try to do that. But Martha said, hey, Jesus, my sister is over here doing nothing, and I'm doing everything. How about you tell her to get to work? But what does Jesus say? Mary, you are distracted. So what that makes me think is that Mary and Martha had both been invited to come and sit at his feet. But what did Martha do? She chose a good thing, but she didn't choose the better thing. She chose to impress her guest, but Mary was more interested in what Jesus had to say. She was more interested in the relationship. She was more interested in the wisdom that Jesus had than she was about cleaning and or even keeping tradition, right? So she found herself at what Jesus said was the right place. So Martha, again, I got ahead of myself, but Martha was doing actually what Jesus said. Jesus said things like this: be about my Father's business, right? Work. It says a man that don't work don't eat, right? That's in the Word. That's in Proverbs. How about work while it's day? Work in the kingdom is very important, and we should be busy and about the Father's business. But we have to realize that, because we can be serving in worship, right? We can be on the praise team. We can be in intercession. We can be an usher. We can be preaching. We can be teaching. We can also then have our natural responsibilities, right, which are working, family, children, bills, problems, our happiness, other people's happiness, right? There's lots of potential to be busy, which Martha was, right? She was doing all the right things. She was doing all the right things. And how many of y'all know in our society today, there's the temptation to go faster, want more, do more, be in more places, pick up this responsibility, do this, do that, right? Everybody's busy accomplishing, grinding, right? Doing all these different things, right? It's more and more and more. And sometimes 24 hours in a day is not enough. Isn't that right? That's what it seems like. That there's not enough time in the day to get done everything we need. And so it's like, Pastor, you said that we should work, right? Work while it's day, be busy about the kingdom. But here is the problem. Busy for God is not a bad thing unless you are neglecting the relationship with God first. I'm going to say that again. Busy for God, and even in your personal life, we're all busy. Own businesses, we work, we have careers, we do all these things. And so being busy is not bad unless you're neglecting your relationship with God first. And what is a relationship? We're going to talk back again. What's a relationship? Because I want this to hit home. What's a relationship to you? Somebody you're connected with? All right. Anybody else? What's a relationship? Is it someone that you know? Is it someone that you understand? Is it someone you're in connection with? Reciprocation, right? Giving, give and take, right? So when we understand about one thing about relationship is that there has to be some dialogue. There has to be some give and take. There, you have to talk to a person in order to be in a relationship, right? Another thing that you have to do is you have to be in their presence in order for it to be a real and vital relationship. You have to know them. They have to know you. And you have to be in their presence, right? That connection. So when I talk about relationship with the Father, that's what I'm talking about, is knowing him. We'll make it real simple. Knowing him and being in his presence. That's relationship. That's the cornerstone of any relationship, is knowing that person, knowing your husband, your wife, your children. You know them. You talk to them. You understand them. You know what bothers them. You know what they like. You know what they don't like, right? And when you're around them, you see how they flow and how they move, right? How they go through things. What upsets them. What they like. What kind of smell they like. What kind of this, right? Relationship. So when I'm talking about relationship with God, like, yes, we're saved. We love God. We serve and we do. But sometimes we can get overwhelmed with doing and forget the relationship part. Because again, earlier I said, we'll check the box, right? I showed up for church, check. I prayed for 30 seconds, check. Right? I read the word, I read two scriptures today, check. If that's all you can do, that's great. But don't tell me that you're on Facebook for 3 hours. Don't tell me you're talking on the phone for hours and hours, but God can only get a little bit or nothing at all, but I'm serving him, right? I'm ushering, come on here, and I'm preaching, right? I'm vacuuming, I'm giving, I'm doing. Martha, you're doing the wrong thing, right? Because God is more interested in the fact that you know him. He wants you to understand that he's more worried about if you know him, if you're connected to him, if you're in his presence. Because work should be a response to you knowing God, right? Work should be a response to your love for God. So let's make it real, real simple. How many of y'all do things for your spouse in here? Those that are married, we do. How about your kids? You do stuff for your kids, right? You do stuff for your friends. You do stuff for fellow people, members here, for us as pastors. Do you do it to check a box? Did it. Right? Yeah, sometimes, absolutely. It's like, I should buy flowers. It's okay, right? But if every time I buy flowers, it's just like, she's going to get mad if I don't. It's been about 3 months. Is that a relationship? That's nothing, right? That's just checking a box. And that's what we're talking about when we talk about relationship versus religion, right? And that's how God is that he's not interested if you read his word, if it's just like, I did it. You have to read his word to know him, to understand him, right? We pray to be in his presence. But most of the time, we'll pray because we've got something going on. If everything's good, if your money's all right, children are all right, job's all right, we ain't prayed in weeks. But when everything goes wrong, right, we now need him, right? I sometimes say pain is the currency of God, right? It's the way that God draws us, right? And not that he inflicts pain on us, but just because of sin and the way the world is, when we're in pain, we automatically come to God. Our pastor used to say that trouble is going to get some people into heaven, right? Trouble is going to get some people into heaven, meaning that when trouble is around, you're around God, right? But when ain't nothing really going on, it's like, I don't know if I really need to go to church today, right? Because it's like, everything's cool. You know, sometimes we use God as like, you know, like almost like an EpiPen, right? It's like, if I ain't having no allergic reaction, I don't know if I really need to go to church, right? It's like, everything's going wrong. I just got a bad report. This is happening. That's happening. Kids are going crazy. Wife's going crazy. Well, let me go to church and pray, right? We use God like a magic genie, and God's not interested in that, right? He's not interested in you just checking the box. He wants you to know him. He wants you to understand him, because why? He understands you. He made you. And so this is what this Christian experience is all about, is being in a relationship with the Father. So again, we see here that back to our text, talks about Martha being distracted, right? Let me skip ahead here. So when we look at our works, again, they should be the product of our relationship. Because how many of y'all know that we can ask you to clean the church, and you can come over here vacuuming mad? I didn't sign up to clean. You'll do it. But you're not into it, right? So that, again, things have to get done. People are not going to like it. Not everybody likes cleaning, all those things. But we can get to a point to where we do God's work and we're mad about it. We do God's work, and it's not really from the place that we love God. People can get up here and preach because they have a gift, but they neglect the relationship, right? You can do things, you can serve, you can usher, you can do the sound and the Facebook and all that stuff, and you can do it. It's like, well, it's just something I like doing. And that's what Martha, that's the place Martha was at, is that she was doing what she thought was important, but she was missing what Jesus really had to say to her. So let me keep going. So when we see Martha rebuking Jesus and telling Mary, hey, you need to get up and help me, Mary understood something. She understood that this is Jesus the Christ, the anointed one. This is God incarnate. You know, this is the one that walks on the water. This is the one that heals the dead or heals the sick. This is the one that raises the dead. So Martha was like, we can get to that later. But Jesus has said, come and learn of me. Come sit at my feet. And let me stop right there about coming to sit at my feet. So when we look at the Jewish culture at that time and how women, they couldn't get an education. They couldn't be around men that weren't their husbands. They could absolutely not sit at the feet of Jesus because he was a rabbi, a teacher, and a man. But looking at how Jesus broke down the barriers, right? How he said, I don't care about the law. I don't care about the way things were. He says, I'm more interested that we be in relationship than this Jewish custom where that limited even women's education. Right, they couldn't learn religious things. They had to learn from their brothers or their fathers, right? And so I'm thankful to see that Jesus was not concerned with the culture at that time. Because I think about the scripture that says there's neither Jew nor Greek, neither male nor female in the kingdom. I'm thankful for a promise of grace, right, of the Spirit, that Jesus broke racial barriers. Right, the woman at the Samaritan, the Samaritan woman, right? So she was a mixed Jew. And so Jews did not intermingle. And if they did, then they were considered low. Right? So that was why the woman at the well, that story is so pivotal, because Jesus, and being a teacher and a Jew, went and talked to her and ministered to her. Because she was mixed. And they only wanted Jewish people, right? Jews should only talk to Jews, and Jews should only marry Jews. And so Jesus was like, I don't care about any of that. So he broke down racial barriers. He broke down gender barriers. And he says, none of that matters, right? So we're now at a place about relationship versus religion. Amen. And so that's good news for all of us, that God doesn't care about that. So when we look at Mary, some things about Mary that are very important is that she was attentive to Jesus' words, right? She wanted to learn from him, right? She wanted to know his words, because she knew in some way, we're not exactly sure, the scriptures don't make it clear, but she knew that his words were life and that they were important, right? If you don't look at the Bible as a necessity, Because that's the only way we can see Jesus' words and hear his heart and his mind. Of course, we could hear God audibly if he chose to speak to us. And of course, if you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, God can speak to you and he can imprint messages and words and thoughts and all that stuff. But to ensure that you're not missing what God is saying, it is his word, right? It is the Bible. And so if we don't view the Bible as precious, as holy, as God's inspired word, as what we need for life. How many of y'all know you need the word for life? To live this life. How many of y'all have lived your life without the Bible? We all have. And how did our lives go? They didn't go too well. We messed them up. We were pretty careless. We did whatever we want. We found ourselves in all kinds of bad situations. But it's something about when we got on this side, our lives began to change. Right, as we began to understand what God purposed us to be. That he didn't just create you to, right, you know, be born, grow up as a kid, get married, have kids, have a mortgage, and then die. Right? Like sometimes that's all life is what can I get? What can I do? I do these simple things, whereas God is going to show you who you are, why he created you, what gifts and purposes that he put inside of you. Right, so we have to understand that Mary understood that there was life in this man's words. And she knew it was important. And so we see here that we have to, when we think about reading the word, sometimes we're like, well, I don't know all the these and thous. Well, don't read the King James. It's okay, I promise you. God's word is not just King James. King James was in 1611. Right, and so it's like it's just another translation like all the rest of them. If you have a hard time reading the word, read the Message, read the ESV, read the Easy English Contemporary. I know there are lots of people that say, well, these words are missing and that's words are missing. You know, let's say there's 250,000 words in the Bible. There may be 10 words missing in a translation, okay? The thought, the meaning, the intent. The fact that it is God's word. Read the Bible that you can understand. Can I tell y'all that? I know there are sometimes people that King James only. I can only quote King James. I grew up King James. It's all I read. It's all I preached. I now preach ESV. That's the English Standard Version. Why? Because y'all don't want to hear a whole bunch of these and thous and with it and this and they. It's fine. Nothing wrong with it. But read. Why? Because it's life. Not read because you want to become smarter, right? If you're a minister, yes, you should read to know the word. But at the core of our Christianity, the core of us being saved, we have to know what our Father wants to tell us. He has something to tell you about life. So her posture, it was one of kneeling, a low posture. So she was willing to sit at his feet. Guess what will keep us away from his feet? Pride will keep you high, keep you up here. How many of y'all know why the devil got thrown out of heaven? For pride. He says, I will ascend above God. I will be greater than God. And it is pride every time that gets us. Pride makes us think that we know everything. How many of y'all think y'all know everything? Don't raise your hand. We can believe that we know everything about our lives, even though we have not experienced everything. But guess what? The one that designed you, the one that is the maker of every human being, the one that is the maker of heaven and earth, wants to give you insight and knowledge and wisdom in how to live your life as a productive human being that is also saved. Right? He's the author. So, Dwayne, if you build something, you know exactly how it should work. Isn't that right? That's how God is. He knows exactly how you should work. He knows how you think. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows what he destined and created you to be. This is what Mary knew. Mary knew that she wanted to get the words of life. She wanted to understand this man and his wisdom. So pride will keep you from getting what God has for you. Pride will make you think that you already know how to do it. And I don't know about you, but I have done things thinking that I know how to do it, and I failed I failed miserably in relationships, in everyday life. When I would not submit to what God was saying, even as a believer, guess what? Even as a believer, you can have pride. You can think, I don't really. Pastor up here talking about praying. I pray. It don't matter if I pray. If I check the box, it don't really matter. It does matter. Absolutely. And God will show you. God will show you. Because the thing we don't want to do, this is kind of the way God works, is we don't want to be like Jonah, right? We don't want to be like Jonah. No, this is actually the definition of sin. He says to know what is right and not do it. That's sin. He said, unto you, that's sin. To know what is right and not do it. Right? We know that sin is missing the mark of God, breaking his commandments, his laws, all those things like that. If he says, unto you is sin for those that know what's right and still don't do it. So pride tells me, it's all right. Like, there's nothing really going to happen. Like, I can just do this my way. This is something else the Bible says. He says, there's a way that seems right unto man, but at the end, it leads to destruction. How many of y'all want destruction in your life? Sometimes we can think that's hell, but you know, there's some destruction here in this life because we don't listen, because we don't trust God, because we go our own way, we do our own things. When God says no, and you say yes, and then it's like, God's not going to make you. He could put you in a Jonah situation. Right, put you on the ship, throw you over in the water, get swallowed by the fish. Then you realize, God's not playing. He really wanted me to go to Nineveh. Even though I didn't want to go to Nineveh, I didn't want to go to where God was telling me to go. And so I don't want to go through any more heartache, problems, trials, or destruction because I'm unwilling to listen. Right? And you can ask God questions like, why? Why do I need to do this? Why do I need to go this way? Why shouldn't I do this? Why shouldn't I cuss my wife out or cuss my kids out? Or why shouldn't I steal? Or why shouldn't I lie? Or why should I not have a bad attitude or complain all the time or be full of pride and think that I know everything and nobody can ever tell me anything, including my wife or my husband, my children, or my pastor, my boss, right? All these things are indicative of pride. It says you know better than anyone else. And it's just not true. Realize that there's always someone smarter than you. There is someone that God has given the ability to help you, to mentor you, to bring you to the next place. We all need that in our lives. But if we're unwilling to accept it, then we'll find ourselves in a bad place. So being a Christian is humbling. Can y'all agree with that? Amen. That being a Christian is a humbling experience. It is. We go through life thinking we know what's best, but we destroy our lives. So it's okay to be humble. It doesn't mean that you're weak. It just means that you're willing to listen to other people, right? You're willing to take correction. Nobody likes to be corrected. The Bible says that it's a bitter pill, but it's needed. How many of y'all have ever took medicine that tastes bad, but it's good for you, amen, right? So being humble, I would rather be humble than have to be humbled, right? Because the Bible says that what comes, it says, what's the scripture? It says, pride cometh before a fall. And I don't want to fall, right? I'm trying my best to stay up on my feet, to trust the Lord, to go through this life, right? Because God knows that ultimately pride will destroy us. But God promises to help us. Right, he promises to help the humble. He says, I give more grace to the humble. Well, Mary was humble. I'm not saying that Martha was prideful, because I don't know that. She was trying to do a good thing, but she just wasn't doing a God thing. And so we see here that her posture was low. Then another thing about Mary is that she refused to be distracted. Even when her sister was like, you know, you need to be over here. They going to get us for being at his feet. She was like, she didn't say nothing. She was just like, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to learn. I'm going to get everything that I need. And then the last thing is that she even refused to do what was expected of her. How many of you have ever been in a situation where it's like people expect you to do something, expect you to cater to them, expect you to bend over backwards for them, and you don't? I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. Because that's not what God is telling me to do. How many of y'all know that people will want you to be God in their lives? They'll want you to give them money, to pray for them, to do, to go, to take them around, to be their crutch, to be God in their lives. And guess what? There are times in your life where you cannot help people. There are times in your kids' life where you cannot help them. There are times in your marriage where you have to allow God to be God in their lives. And is that easy? No. But it's the God thing. And you have to know and you have to discern. And I'm not saying just because they ask you many times, it has to be something that you've heard God say, right? But Mary refused, even when it was expected. She says, I'm going after the better thing. So Jesus confirmed the thing that was worth being concerned about at that time. And it was the relationship. So in Luke 10 and 42, he says, there is one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. What won't be taken away from her is her relationship with Jesus. Do you know all these works will go away? There will come a time maybe where you can't work, you can't do, you can't serve. But he says Mary tapped into the relationship part. She tapped into the fact that as long as I have him, right? As long as I'm connected to God, as long as I am connected to him, as long as I am learning of him, as long as I am in his presence, I have discovered the better thing. Even better than serving, even better than preaching, even better than teaching, even better than doing all the things, being a great husband, being a great wife. Again, all those are responses to the relationship. All those are responses to the relationship. And it says, works are good and are needed, but our lives can be consumed by checking the box. So the next time that you pray, the next time that you read the word, the next time that you come to church, the next time you do something good, we have to examine our heart. Am I doing it grudgingly? Am I doing it because it's like, well, if I don't, then they're going to say something to me. Right? They're going to ask me if I prayed. It has to be because I want to know him, because I love him, because he's done something for me. Who in here God has done something for? It's all of us. God has done something. He has kept us. He has delivered us. He has healed us. He has kept our mind. He has saved us. And so we, again, can't be checking the box today. We can't be, when we wake up, it's like, well, I don't want to feel bad, so I'm going to do this. It's like, no. I want to know him. God, show me you. God, show me you. And you know, one thing I want to elaborate on is the time thing. So we will all say, if I was to ask you, are you pretty busy? You say yes. But again, looking at what is priority. If you were to prioritize, I'm not talking about work, outside of work, prioritize what it is that you do. Do you prioritize the things of God? Do you prioritize your health? Right? Do you prioritize things that are good, or do we prioritize doing the things that bring us pleasure all the time? Like scrolling, right? Like social media, like talking on the phone, like being around our girls or our boys or whomever, being, right? And none of these things are wrong, but the priority. Because we'll say we're too busy. If I was to ask you, how many times did you pray last week? You'd be like, well, Pastor, you know, I was just so busy. The kids, school, and teachers' conferences, and work. And I was just tired. But actually, how many times were you on Facebook? How about YouTube? How about watching TV? How about listening to music? Right? How about all these things, right? And if we don't set the priority, right, our heart. Because we understand, and this is what Paul said. He says, in him I live, move, and have my being. Now, I'm not asking you to, the thing is, I don't need you to be weird, right? I don't need you to just, like, walk around all day long speaking in tongues, right? You're in work. I'll tell y'all a funny story. So we're in Chicago. We're in an Uber. The lady picks us up. I'm like, hey, gets in. She starts singing. Like, she had her earbuds in, so, like, she couldn't sing very well at all. But anyway, she's singing. Then she just starts speaking in tongues. It's like, just going at it. So we in this car for an hour. And this one, because we got stuck at the bridge that opens, folds up, all that stuff like that. But this woman for an hour sang and spoke in tongues. Talking about, thank you, Jesus. The whole ride. You don't, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about being weird. Like, that's weird. Hey, don't do that. Don't. You riding in the Uber. You're the Uber driver. Don't be in there speaking in tongues and praying and warfare. I was getting ready to start praying against the woman because I didn't know if she was like, you know, we get ready to be in warfare. I'm in the front seat. Like, we both get ready to start speaking in tongues. Like, I don't know what kind of tongues you speaking and you singing bad. And are you Jesus, the devil? I don't. But again, I'm not talking about that, right? I'm talking about from your heart, doing the things that you know, right? Mary said, I'm not going to serve today, right? I see Jesus, and I need to get to him, and I need to know what he has for me. That should be your heart every day. Is Jesus, what do you have for me? I'm not saying you have to spend an hour in prayer or an hour reading the word, whatever it is that you need to get into his presence, right? Because you want to know him. So if you want to know your husband or your wife or your children, you take that time and you make it a priority. And so what I'm saying is choose the better thing, right? Not that all this other stuff is not good, because serving God is good. Absolutely. We need it in the kingdom. And he's saying choose the better thing. Choose the relationship. And everything else will flow from there. He says, seek ye first the kingdom. Right, and all these other things will be added. Choose the better thing, right? But we have to look at our lives and we have to be honest that we can spend a lot of time wasting time. We can spend a lot of time wasting time. I got to sleep. I'm not talking about your 8 hours of sleep, neither. You know, if you put those two numbers together, 8 plus 8, guess how many hours you still got left? 8. Did I count right? 8. 8 hours of sleep, 8 hours of working, and you still got 8 hours to do whatever you need to do. You realize that? It's a hard reality. Like, I done started working out again, and it's like the 1 hour that I'm going to dedicate at least 3 days a week to working out, right? Is it easy? No, am I tired? Like, well, you know, my leg's hurting, it's hurting. Oh, I had a busy day. I was tough. It was hard. And it's like, uh-uh. No, priorities, right? Spending that time in prayer, spending that time seeking God, not to check a box. Don't check the box. It's going to be useless, I'm going to tell you right now. Outside of just having some more knowledge or say that you can pray for 30 minutes, you know, boasting and bragging like this, it's not going to benefit you. You're not being like Mary and choosing the better thing, which is building your relationship as a believer with God. Because when you do that, that causes us to grow as believers. When we choose the better thing, when we choose the relationship, he says, choose me. Choose the better thing. Don't choose the good thing over the God thing. And I'm going to tell you right now, it is never going to be easy to choose the God thing, to choose the relationship over just working. Just checking the box. It's always going to be easy to say, I got my 5 minutes in. Can't nobody say nothing to me. It's like a lawyer, right? It's like, did you read the word today? I did. What'd you get from it? I can't even remember what I read. Right? What did God say? Right? That should be more of like, did you read or pray last week? But it's like, what did God say to you? What did you learn about him? How was the relationship strengthened? What new insight, revelation, what new power, what new peace, what is it that you are going through right now, and did you take it to God in prayer? Right? We have an ability to talk to the creator of the universe, and we just kind of like, whatever. He can get in where he fits in. Really? That's how we treat him. It is. We treat him like he don't matter. Until you need him, right? And so what we're going to do is we're going to take just a few minutes as she's going to play this song, and I want you to choose the better thing. I don't want you scrolling on your phone. I don't want you ushering. Robert, if you'll lock the door, I don't need no ushers. We need the door locked. Ain't nobody coming in. If they knock, will let them in. But I need you to take this time and choose the better thing. I need you to choose the relationship. That may be prayer. You can kneel at your seat. You can read the word. You can do whatever, that you would choose the better thing, that you would choose your relationship, that you would say, God, what are you saying to me? Right? We're going to take just a few minutes. I don't want nobody working. I don't want nobody doing nothing. I want you to choose the better thing right now.
Raise it together, say, I'll be seated at your feet. That's where you want me.
To worship at your feet.
So that's where I'll be.